Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I have a fair bit of scripture that we're going to go through today, and the good news is it all comes from the book of Acts, well, most of it. But we're going to get stuck into it today, and I just want to posture it with this. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through to 8. And it says this: Jesus, post his ascension, he says, being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me that John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they come together, the disciples, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore to the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons of which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yeah, I love this passage of expectation and anticipation that Jesus has put before his disciples. And if you remember rightly, back in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist declares the same thing, basically, that Jesus is going to come and baptize you with fire. Do you remember that? In Luke chapter 24, Jesus gives them the promise and says, hey, I want you to tarry. And I want you to wait until you receive power from on high. And it's beautiful because when Jesus says to them in this passage, he says, don't depart from Jerusalem. And Jesus said in Luke 24, tarry, wait in expectation for the promise of the Father, for the Holy Spirit, for the one who will come and baptize you with fire. When he said this, I often think of us in times like today. The disciples' first response post his, hey, I want you to wait for the promise. I want you to wait for power on high. The first response of the disciples was, okay, getting ready to rule and reign. Where's the plan? Where we're going? What we're doing? And I think for us today, as a bit of a reminder today, this Pentecost, the Lord wants to remind us not be so quick and ready to move to the next thing, but to actually wait on him. To wait on the Lord and to actually sit with him in the waiting. I've been excited to hear some of the different testimonies of people throughout the week about their expectation for God to move and seeking him. And some have been fasting food for the whole time and are just on water. And some have been fasting because of medical health issues, have been fasting particular foods. And some have been turning off the distractions of their mobiles and turning off TV. And can I be really honest with you? This week, I had a moment where I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you all of my attention this week. I'm not going to turn on my TV. And I'm not going to turn on the latest TV series. I'm not going to turn on my phone. I'm not going to jump on social media. And I tell you what, everything in my flesh wanted to move to the next thing. How about you? It was like this moment of waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we actually have to teach ourselves how to wait. I don't know about you, but there were moments where I felt that difficult, where I was like, okay, well, I'm not eating this, and so I can't do that, and I'm not watching this, and I'm not turning that on, and I'm not doing this. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm waiting on the Lord. Am I the only one that found that difficult this week? Like to wait. Let me put it to you like this. Did some of you have to wait in line this week? Right, this is where it gets real, because you go, oh yeah, I waited in line at the supermarket and I got in the wrong line. I chose to get in the line behind the slowest person. And that waiting actually is like almost intolerant of us in this society today. We don't want to wait. We're all about fast moving from this thing to that thing and the next thing. And the disciples are no different. They're looking to the next moment. He's like, wait, tarry, don't forget to wait and tarry. And they're like, okay, what's the plan? And he's like, hang on a second. It's not for you to know the time, the seasons, the days, the hours, but it is for you to receive power so that you will be a witness. He kind of brings them back to the actual effectiveness of what his power is going to do. I don't know about you, sometimes we just need a reminder to actually know what it is to wait on the Lord. Some of us, we're going through worship and we're like, I wish they'd hurry up. Gee, they sang that line 3 times already. Right? Because there's a natural desire in us in this world to actually just keep moving to the next thing. I got church kicked off my list. I'm going to lunch with this person. I've got the roast on. My family are coming over. We're moving and moving and constantly moving to the next thing. But when we actually take time to pray and fast and stop and seek the Lord and wait, all of a sudden there's something new that he wants to do. There's a new facet of himself that he wants to reveal to us. And that doesn't come in the busyness and the hurry of the everyday. It's in those moments of sacrifice where you put something aside that all of a sudden he shows up. And don't get me wrong, God can move in the busy and the hustle and the busyness and everything like that, but sometimes it's more about, hey, are you willing to put off something in order to wait upon him? And I feel like the Lord's invitation today for us is about this waiting on the Holy Spirit. This refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Many of us in the room today have been filled with the Spirit and can recount our experiences. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a minute. But for some of us, we actually don't know what it is to have been filled with the Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, to actually feel the presence of God. Or some of us are here today and it's been so long since we experienced the presence of God. You can remind yourself of the yesterday, yay, year gone by. But when was the last time that you were filled with the Spirit? Because Ephesians 5:18 says that we're to continually be filled with the Spirit. It's not a once-off moment. It's an everyday invitation for an encounter. And I don't know about you, but I go through enough life days in my life where there's enough being poured out of me that I'm like, Lord, I need more of you. Like, if you don't fill me, it ain't gonna be good. Am I sitting in a room full of people who are like all holy and I'm a heathen? Like, yeah, come on. This is sometimes the reality, but the distinctive of this moment of the promise of the Holy Spirit was something the disciples were encouraged to hold to. And eventually they took Jesus at his word and they gathered together in the upper room and they stayed there. And let's go to chapter 2 of Acts together. Acts chapter 2, it says this in verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning the day of feasts, the day that they would celebrate this moment of the past. It was like the law, giving of the law, and it was a day that came and they gathered together and they ate together. And it's this moment, and it says, when it had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This moment is the pinnacle moment for the Christian faith, knowing that the Spirit of God came and lit a light within the church and the church was birthed and we're here as a result of it. Who's grateful for Pentecost? Come on. I tell you, I'm so grateful that they stayed and they waited for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine if they just got on with business and went and said, well, Jesus told us what to do. He showed us how to do this. We'll just get on with business. We'll just get on with our man-made plans. I'm grateful that they waited. I'm grateful that they waited for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and fill them and baptize them and fill them with fire. The beautiful picture of this you get to see is that there's a wind moment that comes through and it's like this sound of a rushing wind. I don't know about you, but I see it like a movie in my head. It's like they're gathered together and there's like this. Now, there had to be something because people heard it. And so they heard the sound, so therefore there was a sound, and I don't want to minimize that in any way, form, or shape, but for me, when I think about what is wind and what the word actually means is breath. And if you go back to what it means, you look at Ezekiel chapter 37, where Ezekiel has the dry bones moment and the Lord says to him, prophesy life and breath back into these bones. And literally, as he prophesies life back into these bones, the wind comes from the four places of the earth and it begins to bring new life. You think about breath when God breathed life into Adam in Genesis chapter 2. It's the wind of the Spirit in this moment that is bringing life into the church. It's the wind of the Spirit that is bringing life to the believers. And it's this beautiful picture of personal intimacy. When God breathed into Adam's lungs life, it's this beautiful invitation into relationship with the living God. It was a life that was established within him that was born with a desire, an innate desire to want to have communion and connection with their God. The idea of fire in this passage, tongues of fire turns up, and I'm reminded again of the fire of God in that moment. It says it divided and tongues of fire on top of each head. And you can be artistic or as creative as you like on what you might think that looks like, but the author is here is pretty descriptive. It fell upon each one of them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But fire was a sign of the personal, intimate presence of God. 400 years ago, the presence of God, the fire of God was removed from the temple because of the people's disobedience. And in this moment, God takes the fire of God and puts it on a people and says, now my presence dwells within you and you carry this fire, not only to make a difference, but because it's personal and intimate. Do you remember when Moses walked with his sheep at the time? I think it was, he was looking after sheep and he walked past and he sees a burning bush. Catches the eye and the attention of Moses and he draws near to it. Why? Because fire is intimate. It's personal. It's this invitation of the Lord to come light a fire within you and I. And this is what Pentecost looks like. There is this beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that takes place. And then there's this one moment that happens at the end of verse 4 where it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ooh, yes, you've come to a tongue-speaking church. And I get really excited about this because I can remember when I was like six. Five, I got saved through a dream, and at six, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a wild moment. And we, this morning, as our teams all gathered together for briefing before our service, we all shared the different stories of how we were filled with the Holy Spirit and what our experiences were. And you should have seen it. It was like joy hit the room. There were smiles from ear to ear because they remember the moment that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I was in kids' church and I'd given my life to Jesus, and so everyone needed to know Jesus, and that's how I lived. And at this point in time, they asked a question in the service and they said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm assuming it was probably like something like Pentecost or something like that they were talking about for the day. And I don't remember anything else other than, if do you want more of God and more of the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. I raised my hand. My best friend who just got saved 5 minutes earlier in kids' church, Catherine, raised hers as well. And we're sitting in this kids' ministry moment and they pull us out and they put us at the top of the stairs at Dandenong AOG back then, now Faith. And at the top of the stairs in the old building, they sat us at the top of the stairs in this circle. And as they sat us in a circle, we sat down and I kind of was like a little kid. I felt like this was going to be the fun moment. We're going to play Duck, Duck, Goose. We're all sitting in a circle. You remember Duck, Duck, Goose as a game? Yeah. And we're sitting in this circle and they began to go around and pray for us. And they started to lay hands on each and every single one of us. And out of the overflow, out of the depths of our being, all of a sudden, started to well up within me. I'm six. I'm not being convinced of anything. I'm just having an moment and an encounter with the Lord that you cannot negotiate with because it's my experience. And I remember in that moment, as the Spirit of God touched me, I began to speak in tongues. My best friend sitting next to me began to speak in tongues. And it almost felt like we had to get up and run, a bit like the old Pentecostal churches of the day. They used to get up and run around in circles and do crazy things. Haven't seen that for a while, but hey, I'm not in charge. The Lord is. But like he moves and he touches people. And as we're sitting in this circle, my friend, saved 5 minutes earlier, begins to speak in tongues. We're sitting in this moment in the car on the way home, and mum and dad decide we're going to go to the supermarket, the milk bar. I can remember exactly where we were. We're sitting in the car. Dad went in to get the bread and the chicken ready to come home and have some lunch. And as Catherine and I are sitting in the back seat of the car, we're sitting in the car. Now, we had no idea what was going on. And it wasn't like we could talk to each other and understand what each other were doing, but we were so filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost, we didn't want to shut up. We couldn't lock it up. And my mum sitting in the front seat just was like big smile ear to ear. And I can remember her saying to us, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, for each and every single person, there's an experience that the Lord wants you to have. But let me help you understand some of the context for these things. Because it really does tie back to an Old Testament moment where Babel, the tower, was being built. And this moment of Pentecost is like the reversal of that exact thing. It's a moment where at Babel, the tower was built because they wanted to reach heaven and they wanted to make themselves God and to get to God. And they built this thing and literally it was in independence. And it was actually in opposition to what the Lord's command was. Because he said to them, go forth and multiply and spread out. But they wanted to keep everybody together. They wanted to make sure that they had their group and they would just build this thing and get to God. And so there was this moment that took place in time where the Lord came and he actually caused a confusion to come upon them and he begins to change their language. And as he changes their language, all of a sudden they're speaking to each other and they can't understand each other. And then all of a sudden outside of that begins this moment where there's a dispersion of people groups across the earth. And then in Pentecost, God comes and he unites the believers. And he unites them with a language that magnifies God. Not magnifying man, but magnifying God. And he unites them together. And there was a gathering of the believers where everything shifted and changed in this moment. Because they used to know Pentecost as the day where the law was given. Now they knew that Pentecost was the day where the Spirit of God was given to each and every single man and woman and child, because he's not anyway form or shape dependent on age or status. This is the beautiful picture, and it is subsequent to salvation, the experience. It's one of the key distinctives of the faith that we believe. Acts 2:37 to 39 tells after this moment where the Spirit of God has broken out, Peter says to them after the people say, you know what, we've heard what you've had to say, now what do we need to do? Peter says this to them. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The beautiful thing is it goes on and says that this is for all generations and for all of the children and the children who are afar off, for as many as the Lord will call. Who's grateful that the dispersion of the Holy Spirit was not left to a holy few, but it came to you and I today? Can you feel the expectation and the anticipation? There's something beautiful that the Lord is doing. If you look through scriptures, Acts, you see that Philip goes out and he preaches the gospel and a whole multitude are saved, which is awesome. But then he brings in John, I think it is, and Peter, and they literally go through and lay hands on them and pray for them and they receive the Holy Spirit. It goes on and says that in that space that it was received through the laying on of hands. Let's go over there. We've got a lot of scripture. We're going to bounce through this real quick. Chapter 8. We're going to read verse 14 to 19. And what I want you to understand about this is that as the apostles came to that place of Samaria, they prayed for people. In verse 15, it says, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. And he had only been baptized in the name, they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can see the distinction between salvation and between the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then it says then in verse 17, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now listen, it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues, but let me take you to the next verse and let me help you see something here. It says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And he said, give me this power also that anyone whom I may lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So let me put it to you like this. It doesn't say in there explicitly that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. But there was a demonstration that showed power enough that someone was willing to pay money for. You ain't paying money for nothing, are you? You're going to only give money for something in return. So there was something that was evident that they were seeing. And I love it that Saul in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 9, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's had an encounter on the road to Damascus. He's had a moment, and in that moment, literally, his scales have fell from his eyes. He's had an encounter with Jesus. He's saved. But then the Lord sends to him Cornelius, and he sends to him Ananias. Let me just get the name right. Ananias, and in verse... I love this. In verse 17, it says, "And Ananias went on his way and he entered into the house after having much debate with the Lord about who Saul was and whether he should. He's decided he's going. And he lays hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road came to me and has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately scales fell from his eyes like something like scales, and he received sight at once and arose and was baptized." You know what I love about this? Again, it doesn't actually say that Saul began to speak in tongues. You don't see it there, right? But do you remember in Corinthians that Paul says, "I'm so glad I speak in tongues more than you all"? Right? So while it's not implicitly written into it, it says that he received the Holy Spirit, and later he refers not only to speaking in tongues more than you all, he actually refers to singing in tongues in the Spirit and speaking in tongues in a prayer language. And there's this beautiful depiction of what the Lord is doing, and it's completely subsequently to salvation, and it's this beautiful picture of an impartation of the more. Now, I don't want to make the baptism of the Holy Spirit just about tongues. Right? It's a part of the gift because there's boldness, there's joy. Like, there's all these other things, the gifts of the Spirit that come out. But this is one of the key foundational things that we as believers believe. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 46 through to 44 to 46. Now, this is a passage where Peter has just preached the gospel, funnily enough, to Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit falls on a people group that is separate from the Jews, that changes the course of history, and about the Holy Spirit not just being for one group of people or the select few, the sect, whatever, that's actually for all believers. And it says this: "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard. They heard the word of the Lord, and as the faith was arising in their spirits," it says that the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. "And those who were circumcised believed, were astonished at how many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying the Lord." Whoo! I love how this beautiful depiction of what Peter tries to justify, if you turn over into Acts 11. He's like, I need to try and put some language around this. I need to help people understand this. And he says in verse 15 to 18, he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them." He's referring back to the people about what had happened, because it was like, how could the Lord fall? How could the Holy Spirit fall on the Gentiles? And he says, "As I began to speak to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us he did at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, and he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when he heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying that God also granted the Gentiles repentance unto life." I love it. I love it because I get to see this picture of what the Holy Spirit was doing and how he was moving and the shifting and the shaping and the changing of what became the church for us today and how it moves today. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, the last passage that really speaks to a moment where Paul is in Ephesus. They've just been preaching. Apollos has preached the word of God. There's a bit of gaps in his teaching, and he's missed the teaching of the baptism of Jesus. He's got the baptism of John sorted out, and so they teach him more correctly the way. I think it says explain to him the way of God more accurately, and they reorientate his teaching. And then it says this in verse 1 of 19. It says, "As it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some of the disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' Can you see the connection? Belief and Holy Spirit. Belief in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, did you receive? There's something to be received. And they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. He said to them, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Verse 4 says, Paul said that John indeed baptized with repentance, saying that people should believe on him who would come after him, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm reading the scriptures and I'm getting a little bit of excited. What is it the Lord wants to do new and fresh today? I don't care if you've been baptized 20, 30, 40 years ago, but what's the Lord doing? And we've gone through the scriptures now, but I'm going to invite a few people to come up here with me. And I want them just to begin to speak about their own experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that the Lord is about to cultivate some faith and some expectation for the new thing the Lord has done. Maybe you received the baptism as a young person or 20 years ago. Maybe you received it only weeks ago. Can I just tell you, there's a fresh thing the Lord wants to do. There's a fresh outpouring of His Spirit that He wants to do. And He doesn't want to be restrained or restricted to the once when. He wants to be in the here and the now. Because the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is for the empowerment of effective witness. And you can only be an effective witness when you have received power. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power to be my witnesses. It's not for, this is about more of Him. It's not about the manifestation. It's not about the evidences. It's not about trying to get that, because I see more constipated Christians than you realize. Oh God, I'm waiting. Oh. But they're not waiting on Him. They're waiting on the gift to manifest. And it's really not to disappoint you in any way, form or shape, or to mock you, but to actually say, get your eyes off the evidences. Get your eyes off the experiences even, and actually just set your eyes on Jesus. And you watch what He does, because it's the more of Him. So for those guys that are with me, I'm going to share a couple as they are making their way up. I had a Sariti, I'm going to call you out by now, right? Sariti, Jade, Mark, and there was a couple of guys as we shared this morning, their testimonies around how they were filled with the Spirit. And you know, each and every single one of them can remember exactly where they were, when it happened, and how it happened. And it was this beautiful moment for some of sitting at home by the window praying and the Lord making Himself real to them in that moment, and began to speak in tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. There was others that I heard today as they were in a life group and the life group prayed for them. Well, that's my mother's experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit and being slain out for the first time in a life group. Like, there's so many different stories across the room that I could pull out each and every single one of you. But I wanted these guys just to share, to begin to cultivate an expectation of faith for you today. Jade.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very honored to share a little bit of my story. When I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I was actually in the lead up to that very day. I was seeking the Lord. I was asking Him to show me how to pray and how to read His word. And I actually have physical evidence of that journey. When I started journaling and learning, it was very different. Just that progression of Him just teaching me how to hear His voice. And I remember one particular night, I was in my bedroom. I was being all, you know, mysterious, door shut, lights off, you know. And I was on my knees praying. And I don't remember exactly what I was praying, but all of a sudden, I felt this welling up in my belly. And I was reminded of that scripture that says, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And I really believe I encountered that, because as I began to pray, it's almost like I couldn't hold back. I couldn't hold back what was going to come out of my mouth. What came out of my mouth was tongues. And so I just remember just thinking, wow, where did that come from? But it just shows me and reminds me that the Lord loves to do that. He loves to show up. He loves to fill us. When we seek Him and we draw near, He draws near to us. And there's evidence of that. And I've been on a journey ever since, and I will continue to until the Lord comes back or I join Him in heaven. But I hope that encourages you today.
Thanks, Jade. Thank you.
Thanks, Jade. I've had a similar experience. So I was speaking in tongues at home. And so basically the way that came about was I just saw people in church and they'd speak in tongues. And I'm like, well, I don't need that. I know I'm saved. And yet there was this desire on me where if God wants me to have that gift, he'd give it. And so I was determined. I remember spending a resolve of meeting God in my bedroom and spending the night praying, saying, just asking and seeking God on this gift. And I just remember spending hours this evening just praying, asking God for this gift of tongues, to speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues, Lord. Hours and hours of prayer. And you know what happened? Nothing. And I was like, okay, God, if you don't want to give it to me, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just going to go to bed. But I felt a nudge of the Holy Spirit say, no, keep going. And so I'm like, okay. And so again, I spent about probably another hour in prayer. And all of a sudden, as Jade shared, I felt like a bubbling in my belly. And then out came out this language. And I just started speaking in tongues. And it wouldn't stop. And so throughout the night, I was just speaking in tongues. I didn't even know how I slept that night. And I just remember like that it wouldn't stop. And I remember, so I just, one thing that I just remember cognitively was out of my mouth came this language, but in my head it was like, oh, what's going on? What am I saying? And yet, but here I'm like, okay, but I was not in control. And I just remember then having to go to work the next day and it didn't stop. And so I just remember going to work and I had to like whisper in tongues because it's like, I'm at work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take a bathroom break so I can just let it out. And so I just want to encourage you that seek him. He wants us to have those gifts. He wants us to have more of him. And even though there's times where we're like, oh, our flesh contends or our personalities contend with God, he wants it. He just wants us to seek him with a pure heart. So I hope that encourages you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm just too scared to stand here, but I think it's God that needs to be glorified, not my fear, because he's asking me to be bold today. And I started coming to church in 2010, and then I started doing the Alpha course with Pastor Barry. This happened in the kids' church, and then while I was doing the course, we prayed for Holy Spirit baptism. Instantly, nothing happened, and during the end of the course, I was touched by the Holy Spirit, and I could experience the fire coming out of my ears, like constant fire, wouldn't stop at all. And I was in fire. And Pastor Barry said, this is the Holy Spirit of the baptism, because I come from a Hindu background, and I didn't know what was Holy Spirit baptism. And initially, there was no evidence of speaking in tongues, and I kept coming, and probably I started serving 2 months after coming to Bridge Church. This was called Bridge Church back then. And 2 months after, I was serving. And one day, I was serving. And I remember I was right there in that door. The old doors, not the new auditorium setup. And I could feel I'm talking some kind of a gibberish language. I'm like, Shantara karatara seva karata. Good morning. And I'm talking to people. And It's quite unusual for me because I come from a Hindu background and I did not know how it sounds. And I asked my team leader, what is this? And he said, that's what the gift of tongues. Now you can pray in tongues. And then the whole day, I wouldn't speak any other words. I was just nonstop. And even I checked with my connect group leader and I'm talking to her and I'm like, Shantara, karatara, siyaba, karatara. Oh, I'm moving. And it wouldn't stop. And the fire keeps going until now. Yeah. Praise God.
Friends, I don't know what your journey is like with Jesus or what it looks like in this season, where you've been, but where you are today, you find yourself in this room. And the same question that Paul asked the disciples that were following John the Baptist's instructions around baptism and repentance. He introduces them to Jesus. And then he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And I'm simply going to give you that opportunity across the room today to make a decision to respond to the love of God who loves you, has a purpose and plan for your life, who wants to connect you to himself and wants to become intimately known by you. He wants to set a fire inside of you and he wants to breathe life back into your lungs. And there may be some evidences. Maybe it's the evidence is joy that overflows and you can't stop giggling. Maybe the evidence becomes one of that which we see in Scripture of tongues, or whether it's prophecy. But at the end of the day, you can't formalize God. You can't formalize him. He is sovereign and he will move. Our experiences are individual and it's a personal invitation. And we're not to look for a particular experience, but we are to look to the God of the promise. We are to be open to more of him and to seek him, not a gift, not a response, not a feeling, not an emotion, but more of him. I'm reminded of the woman who was in a crowd like this, and Jesus was in that space. She had an ailment of her own, and she had this faith to believe that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made well. And a really big crowd, she reaches forward and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Thinking she wouldn't be known or seen, tried to do it discreetly, just touch the hem. All of a sudden, Jesus stops. He stops for the one who's in the crowd. And he looks and he said, "Who touched me? Because power went out of me." And I believe more than ever, you being here today is not a mistake. You being here is under the divine time of the Lord to hear this word today. And as an individual who sits in this room, maybe you don't know Jesus, and the first point for you today is to believe in him. To believe that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again to forgive you of your sin. And then to choose to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.